Okay, so just a tablet yourself, and so I will invite you to each other bell so that we can enjoy a few breath and before we start our study together. So just relax our body and our mind and bring yourself back together. So, dear friends, today is July 20th, 2010, and this is our Tuesday night class. You know, the study that we haven't finished is the Bodhisattva study. It's a long process, but many things come in a way that we want to learn. Bodhisattva path is also a good path that we embrace, we practice. We call Bodhisattva, it can be a monastic or it can be a lay practitioner. So as the monks in the Mahayana tradition, every time we receive fully ordained, to be a monk, fully monk, we have to take the Bodhisattva vow in order to work in the garden. Because we work in the garden, we might accidentally kill insects on the trees or step on. That's why in Theravada tradition, the monk, they don't work on the ground. Even they don't cook. If strictly for 250 precepts, we're not allowed to step or work on the garden because we can kill small insects. The trainings. So we have to observe the 48 Bodhisattva vow in order to work to cook. Like today I cook for Robert.
A very good cook.
Robert stayed with me last night, come here last night, yesterday afternoon, and he was sitting with me and practiced this morning. We cook together and eat together. So in the Theravada tradition, you don't, as a monastic, you don't cook. Whatever people offer you, you eat. That's why they can eat non-vegetarian. Sometimes people offer them food without vegetarian food, so they just eat, they don't cook. But as a Mahayana practitioner, because you you move beyond, you have to make the vow and to embrace everybody and everything. So we have to take another vow, 48 more vows. To even building, we're not allowed to do that too. Because you cut accidentally, you can cut, you know, like something that in the wood, very strictly training. Strictly training. So if we study deeply the training, we will know many, many detail and so in this book, this is Vietnamese, I will translate this, is the training book, mindfulness or the precept books to transmit the five mindfulness training, 10 wholesome trainings, 48 training or precepts, 250 for the monks, 300 and for bottom, 238 for the nuns.
That's fair.
No, it's good for them. It's good, you know, because you have more training, you have more discipline. It's really good. Because when the training is established, or the Buddha is not established the training, whenever someone violates the training, then the training established, or the precept, the mindfulness training established. So that means none is rarely more. Because the first 12 year, there is no trainings, no rules, no precept, because everyone practice well. Everyone, you know, like mostly people come to the order, these people are highly trained. They are yogis. They are very well trained. At the first 12 years of the monastic order, and there's no rules. I think people live harmony. At the monastics live very harmony. Which is nobody violates the trainings. So after that, more people come into the order, and the teaching spread out more. So that's why all the trainings be established. So today we will, you know, study a bit of the five mindfulness trainings. It's been translated, been revised by Thich Nhat Hanh Thai. And there's the old version, there's a new version. New versions include more practice and more insight. But before I go to the training, I just want to say a few words about from the initiations of the transmitting the the training before the assembly of monastics. They transmit the training. And there will be give word of introductions. Why the reason why the training is being transmit to you or to everyone? See the training. I just say training.
Well, transmission.
Transmission. Yeah,
transmission. It's definite.
So the Buddha say that, you know, we live in this world, three worlds, you know. Have you know any three worlds? Three worlds. Or three runs. Là ba cõi, ba cõi. Thank you. So the Buddha said that we live in these three worlds, or three realms. The realm of desire is our realms. The realm of form and formless. Form is like, formless is like energy. It's formless. And the realm of form, the physical form that we can see. And the Buddha says these three worlds is like a firehouse. Fire. Constantly in the firehouse. We live in three worlds, it's just like a firehouse. And why it's called fire? You know, it's constant. Because the desire in us is constantly burning us. The desire. Either sexually desire, craving for materials, and all this that is constantly burning in us. So the Buddha uses it as a house. It's burning in us, it's constantly burning. The desire always in us is running, is burning us. And that's why many in homeless people go into gangster, for example. They're constantly burned by the desire of many addicts, drugs, right? They constantly burn themselves from craving for drugs, desires, sensual pleasures. So constantly burn. And our energy is also constantly burned too. You know, we burn our energy in a different way, right? In different ways. So the Buddha said that we live in a house that are always fire, but we don't know. We don't know. So the Buddha said that we have to practice like the fire in our burning our hair. You have to like that. You have to. If the fire burns your hair, you have to get it off right away, right? As the Buddha say, it's like that. We have to practice like that, otherwise time is running out. And time is running out. It's impermanent. You can go to the graveyard, you can see many young people, you can go to the hospital, children hospital, and every day children just born and they die in hospital. You go to a hospital, you see many young people die, or in a courtyard you may see many old, young, it doesn't matter what age, you can die anytime. And it's so our life is very fragile, right? It's anything that we can be dying. We can be poisoned, even the drugs that we take. If we overtake the drug, overdose, you can die from that, right? If you overeat, you can die from that. So many things that can poison us and we can die. So that's the Buddha say, life is very fragile. You know, if you eat the wrong thing, you can be died too, right? So life is very fragile, but we don't realize that moment by moment. So that's why we sometimes we live in ignorance, but we don't know. We live in ignorance. We don't know that we live in ignorance. So when something suddenly happens, then we regret, right? And then it's too late. So the Buddha said that we have to practice like fire on our hair. You have to get it off. You have to get your fire off right away. It's just like that. Fire on hair. Your hair get fire. So the Buddha said that if we want to to free ourselves from this, we have to practice some kind of practice to help us to transcend us. So by practicing the mindfulness training, that's the Buddha say. Mindfulness training is an anchor that help you. It's a not an anchor, it's a raft. Mindfulness training is like a raft. Raft that carry you from the shore of desire to the shore of non-attachment. So he used mindfulness training as a raft. So when you observe the mindfulness training, so you have the raft that carry you to the shore. It's help you to prevent from your mistakes. It's not to limit your freedom, but to help you to be at ease more. For example, if we do something out of the precept, out of the training, then we become fear. Fear is arising in our consciousness, not born in our mind. And when we have fear, then we lost our freedom, you see. When fear is present, you lost your freedom. When anger is present, you lost your freedom. So this training helps you to constantly in mindfulness, not to get involved into this mistakes or this unhealthy way of living or style. So you can do that when you have the freedom. So the training is, that's the purpose of this training, to help you to do that. And he used this, the training is like, the training here is the word sila. Sila original means precept. But the new translation is called mindfulness training. So it's easy for us to embrace when we say training. See, it's the seal of the Dhamma. Seal of the Dhamma. Just like when we go to any kind of professional field. For example, you go to medical, then you have to have a certain training. So it's easy, right? So you train to be. So the same thing in the study of Buddhism or study to be happy, and we train ourselves, right? We train ourselves to be expert in a way that to deal with our fear, to deal with our anger, to deal with our hostility, aggressive. And we train. We have to train ourselves in that way, slowly. So he used the mindfulness training as earth. Mindfulness training as earth. Because in earth, everything can grow. Everything is grow from earth, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is grow from earth. Even the big tree, small tree, orange, apple, doesn't matter what kind of food we eat, it grows from earth. Right. And the mindfulness training is like that. Oh, you know, the people who just entered the stream of the Dharma, they have to grow from mindfulness. And the people who already progress on the path, they have to grow from mindfulness. So it's like earth is like that. So you have the earth as the base, the trainings as the base. So you want to be a Zen master, you have to have this. You want to be a teacher, Buddhist teacher, you have to have some kind of training. You have to train yourself from mindfulness. Just the Buddha used the image as earth, mindfulness as earth. That all the holy people just grow from this. It doesn't matter. this holy people is not exceptional. Whether what kind of tradition, or whether you come from a Catholic tradition, Protestant tradition, or Jewish tradition, or Muslims. If you are holy, you have to train from yourself from this. So the Buddha says the earth. So every one have to grow, every tree have to grow from earth. So you want to be, so mindfulness is have the sense of holy in it. It's carry the sense of holy. And it's carry the sense of purity in it. Purity in it. So holy here is you identified as something as a sense of purity. you purify your mind. And this is help us to, the precept of the training is help us to purify our body and our mind. Right? Purify our body. The more you observe in this, the more your body become light. For example, you are observing the precept of eating moderate, for example. And you can feel if you eat moderate and you eat good food, healthy food, you have good sleep. And you don't twist, you don't dream, horrible dream. But if you eat a lot of meat, your body at night, you will have a horrible sleep and you get up not very awake. Your mind is not very clear. If you are a vegetarian, you can experience this. Because you see, you eat vegetarian, or you eat vegetable and something that light, and it purifies. Some sense to purify your body. So the lightness of the body is one aspect. And then the lightness of the body also influence the lightness of the mind. See how that? And you think clear. You think and become slowly clear. So that's how it's purified. See? From the training, you observe the training. And if you eat mindfully, then you know your body, how much your body, the capacity that your body can take. I can offer you a big bowl, but you say that my body can only take half, right? So you know your body, right? That's how much my body can take. My body is not a trust that I can put anything in. Right? Sometimes we use our body as trust can, and we put everything into it. And you will feel the illness of it. See? So the mindfulness here, and you train your body to receive in a way that is healthy. Right? You train your body like that. And slowly, if you continue to train your body, and your body is used to it in that way. And that if you eat that slowly, you somehow that if your body is pure, it's light, you slowly you produce some sense of holy. First you train your body, and then the way that you eat, the way that your diet, and slowly, and then your way of thinking. Why people are holy? Because their thinking is holy. You are the same person, but why that you call the Dalai Lama holy and the other is not? Right? And why we call Thai is holy? Because their thinking always purified, their thinking always in love, in care for all other beings. So that their thinking is clean, is pure, and thus produce the holy person. You see? So first you train your body in a way, and then you get your diet, and then you get your thinking. So here is what we call body, speech, and mind. Body, speech, and mind. So when you use your body is lightness, healthy, and relate to your mind, and then you produce some speech that's holy. Whatever you speak is benefit for sentient beings. Because your thinking always think in the way that helping people, protecting people, embracing people. And that's produced, given to leading you to speech. To give our words our language, and slowly you become a holy person. So trainings helping us, or the sila, help us to slowly to purify our defilements. And the Buddha also used the word of mindfulness training as light for wisdom. Mindfulness shining you the way, directly the way. So is the light. If you live in the dark without light, you cannot see the path out, right? So here is mindfulness is like a light. It's direct you, direct your way of life. So that is this way, it's light. It's light up the darkness. Light up the darkness in your thinking, in your way of thinking, in your way of speaking, in your way of acting. Yeah. So it's a wisdom. So the Buddha say, mindfulness as wisdom. Is as wisdom. Giới như là đèn sáng. Mindfulness as a light. That side the path. So in Buddhism, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom is three pillars. But the first one is mindfulness, or we call precept. But precept for our Western friend it can be allergic. Because we have so many precepts that have a connotation that can be tied at doubts, you know, maybe like that. But in reason we say that mindfulness is something that liberates you. Or just it helps you. It's used image as a fence to stop you from getting into the ocean of samsara. A fence, you know, if you have your house and you have you want to prevent some burglary, go to your house, you have a fence, right? You prevent some animal cruelty, you have a fence that you don't step out of that fence and the other people not to go attack you from, you know, go to your house. So a fence to prevent you from that. So he used the image as a fence, as a precept or training like that. It's prevent, here's prevent your prevent you from making mistakes, from and the Buddha say that mindfulness is the leading path to nirvana, leading path to nirvana. This training is the leading path to joys, happiness, tranquilities. If you live in this space, that's the path that leading to this the path of harmony, the path of joy, the path of love. And this morning I and Robert sit down and I see the froggy coming. And I was composing a song. And he became have a guitar. So I get out the wood and he play. So this song is under the sunshine. That's the title. Under the sunshine. I say this is the path that I walk. The path of harmony, the path of joy and peace, the path of happiness and togetherness. I can heal my wounds in the energy of love, the energy of nectar, the nectar of care, the nectar of gentleness. On the rough road of life, under the sunshine, I bow my head, the sunshine that permeates my heart. So I will sing it to you, Pastor. And I'm going to play guitar. I will take the guitar lesson with Robert. And I like it, so I can compose songs. This is the path I walk, the path of harmony, the path of joy and peace, the path of happiness and togetherness. I can heal my wounds in the energy of love, the energy of nectar, the nectar of care, the nectar of gentleness. On the rough road of life, under the sunshine, I bow my hand. The sunshine that permeates my heart. Because I sit down and I see the frogs, and the first thing is I walk on the path. This is the path I walk, path of the harmony, because after we do our sitting in the morning for 45 minutes and we do the chanting together, maybe an hour and a half together, so we produce some kind of joyous harmony together of peace. And that's the image I in my mind at that time, and togetherness. And then when I walk, we sit down there, and I see many foxes come down, and I can see that many. I can heal my wound in the energy of love. I can see the love and kindness, and the energy, and the nectar of care, because the fog coming down, the rain coming down, the nectar of care, and the nectar of gentleness. You can see some gentleness in the mist. And I see the car on the rough road of life. And this life is, if we don't practice, then life kind of rough to us, right? We encounter many thunderstorms, many tornadoes in our hearts, in our mind. But we have the nectar of gentleness. But I was thinking of the sun, and the sun, I asked, where the sun? The sun is sleepy, sleep already. So I say, under the sunshine, I bow my head. That means under the wisdoms, I bow to wisdom. Under the sunshine, I bow my head. And the wisdom that permeates my heart. And three images that was in my mind all the time. So I know, I compose them. Robert helped me to compose this song. So it's a song of encouragement, song of practice, you know, being come out from experience of life. So if we practice some training, we have some insight, we have love, we have care. And that's what we want to produce our life, you know, be a productive life in a way that don't produce something that is harm you and harm other, you know. And there's many people in our world, because we are wrapping around three poisons: hatred, aggression, and jealousies, ignorance, attachment. We are wrapped ourselves around that, and then our life become very. Very dull, D-U-L-L, very dull, very dark. If we wrap ourselves that around that three poisons, and then we live our life very surface and very superficial life. If we wrap ourselves, we indulge ourselves in the realm of craving, in the realm of desire, and we live our lives very surface, you know. We seem to enjoy a short moment of pleasures, and behind that there is a long row of suffering. a long row of suffering. We don't know, you know. We're just like a baby that licks the honey on the blade, on the blade of the knife, and they don't know behind that sharp knife can cut them. It's like that. So we induce ourselves in that kind of craving, in a knife with a soft knife, blaze with honey, and that cut through us, and we feel so painful. It feels so painful, and that's how the Buddha gives the symbolics. He say that there's a child, that innocent child, play, and. He was craving for honey, and in that honey, there is under the honey, is hidden a blaze. and cut through the tongues. We don't know. And that's how if we don't practice, if we can, we continue to indulge in ourselves, and that we can cut ourselves. Because I want to get this so that we can go into the training. Some introductions to that. So the five basic training, and it's the five foundations training for a happy life. And if we observe this well, and we bring it to our life, we can have some fruit, just like the Mother Earth gives us some fruit. Earth as a mindfulness training that can produce many different kind of fruits for us. So it's up to us, you know. And Buddha said that you have the choice, and that joy is up to you. No, even the Buddha not postpone or not impose that choice in you. In Buddhism, we don't pose anything to anybody, and you have that choice. You have the choice to be a happy life, to live a happy life, but also you have a choice to live a terrible life. And so it's up to us to choose the path that to walk on, you know. So some of you have been study the trainings, the five mindfulness training, and traditional way is very brief. They say that the first one is not to kill, and it's not really explained, you know, what is the cause, why is not to kill. You know, it's very brief, not to kill, and the second one, not to steal is the second one. Not to have sexual misconduct is the third one, and not to use harsh speech is the fourth one, and the fifth one is not to take alcoholic is the fifth one. But Tay have been revised it, make it applicable, understandable, to approachable to many our Western friends, so it's easy to understand and easy to make it applicable to our understanding. It's easy to assess. So the first one is reference to life. I mean, reference to life. I mean, reference is to what? Reference
to revere.
To revere. Reverence to life. I mean, to respect life. Yeah, reverence. Reverence here is to respect life, or to protect life. Protect life. So the first one is aware of the suffering caused by the destruction of life. I am committed to cultivate the insight of interbeing. Interbeing. Interbeing here is interconnecting. Interrelation. To cultivate the insights of interbeings and compassion, and learn way to protect the life of people, animals, plants, and minerals. So the word, the first one he used is to be aware, right? So you're constantly aware of the suffering. Aware of the suffering. Because why are you aware of the suffering? Because the word
absence. Like he used the word interbeing.
So you know that your suffering is somehow related to the suffering of some of other people. Right? For example, we say something that caused someone suffering, that means you are suffering inside already. Right? So you project that out. Right? You project what your inside is. Because you've been suffering, you couldn't find a way to express in a loving way. Right? So you express in a way that's caused damage. So you see how to interconnect that. So you are the same, you suffer and the others also suffer. When you say something that is sour, you give yourself lemon, you give someone else lemon. Sour. You use sour language. And the first one is to suffer is you. No. The first one, when you say that, you already been in unhappy condition already. And then you pour it out on the table. So that you say that I suffer, then you have to suffer. That's how, you know, sometimes in a romantic relationship like that. Say, I suffer, then you will not be happy. So that's the mind of resentful, you see. So it's interconnect. It's very much related. So we have to, so to say, if you say I'm happy, then you're happy, right? So in your family, if you are happy, then your husband happy, right? But if you say something is sour, your husband is not happy, and that's related to your children, the children will not be happy. So here's the insight of interconnections, or the insights of interdependent co-arisings. That is the teachings of interdependent co-arisings. One thing gives rise to another. Since the word interbeing here is the word interdependent co-arisings. My happiness is related to your happiness. My suffering is related to your happiness. So when you realize that, if you're suffering, someone else also suffering, then you stop your actions of destruction. You stop. So the action of destruction is the action of violence, right? So this is himsa. Himsa is violence. And you see that in our world we have a lot of violence. And that violence is a product of individual. Of each, inside of each individual that project out into our society. So if we was to live a life of non-violence, ahimsa, so non-violence have to start from us, from our body, speech, and mind. Body speaks to mind in a non-violence way. So nonviolence here is leading to a life of compassion, a life of loving kindness. The example of nonviolence is Dalai Lama. He lived a life. His country been taken over by China. He have the choice to be violent against the China, right? If you don't practice. But he choose the life of nonviolence. So many Chinese people come to study with him.
Mm.
See? Even though the government might not, but the Chinese people come to study with him. So he can embrace everybody. Everybody. He live a life of ahimsa, a life of nonviolence. And this is produced from the mindfulness training. The base is the mindfulness training. Because he had that training when he was very young already. See? Been trained in the monastic way. And you can see through his body, his speech and his mind is produced the language of love, right? The language of freshness, the language of healing, the language of togetherness. Because he see that his peacefulness is very much related to the people of Tibetan, very much related to the Chinese people. He sees the interconnections, the relationship between him and the people in his country and the people in the Chinese country. He sees the connection there. He has that insight. I am related to the people. To the people of my country, to the people of not my country. On the rough road of life, under the sunshine, he bowed his head. He had the wisdom. Right? He removed himself under the sunshine. You remove yourself, the small self, to be with the cosmos, to be with the universe. That's what I mean. I bow my head. I remove myself, my identity. Normally we identify ourselves with many things. And if that identification is not in your possessions, you become this violence. Right? If what he was to identify, this is my country, then violent actions can be happening between Tibetan people, Chinese people, under his. But he choose not. He choose to be himself, to protect life. Right? To protect life. Reverence to life. Protect life.
Mm.
Life here, we protect life. First is the people. The people. The people that are around him, the people that are far away. He has his wisdom. His wisdom is embraced, is pervasive like the sunshine. It's like that. You see, cultivates the insight of interbeing or interconnectedness. Cultivates the insights of compassion. And learn way to protect life. And then we move further to animals. You see, we life here is the people, then animals. Animal world. And then to the plant and to the mineral. So you protect life and you protect the environment. Because you know that you are very much related to the environment that you live around you. Environment. So if we destroy life of human, animals, plants, or minerals. I mean, we destroy ourselves. We kill ourselves. And that's happened to many countries. In my country, people destroy the environment, take out, kill, cut down a lot of trees. And every year flood comes, the root water cannot hold. Kill many people. Every year Vietnam had many floods. And it's killed many crops, many people. So at first they don't protect the environment. They cut down the forests, cut down all the trees, exploit nature, and the nature come back. That's what happened in my country. So when we have that insight, how much we relate to the environment, then we make the determination, the commitment to protect life, right? If we don't see that children is our continuation, we will destroy them. But if we see children is our continuation, beautifully carry us to the future, and we try to find way to protect them, to educate them, to give them direction in life. Right? That's the insight. The insight of interdependent co-arising give rise to some good thought. So when we have that insight, then we don't destroy the nature. And we make the commitment to cultivate something good, to protect life. So that's why they say that I'm determined not to kill and not to let others kill. You have to prevent other people killing also. You go to the slaughterhouse, you see they slaughter animal, you know, very cruelly. Then you have to find a way to protect the innocent animal, right? If you see someone have a potential to kill someone, you have to stop. You have to stop. You have to hold the hand. Stop the actions. Stop the actions. You commit, determined not to kill, but not also not to let others kill. Not to let others kill also. And not to support the act of killing also. You know? We live in a way unknowingly that we support the act of killing. For example, if nobody eat meat, then nobody won't kill. Right? Nobody won't kill. So in a way that we don't know, if we consume too much meat, then we are silently support. But we don't know. That's why the Buddha said that we live in ignorance. Support the act of killing. In your way of thinking, in your way of mind, in your way of living. Body, speech, and mind. Sometimes you can do your killing through your mind, thinking. Right? Thinking. And you can get the act of killing through your physical body. But first have to be in your thinking first. In your thinking. So in your way of thinking, in your way of life, so you see after that, you see the suffering in the world, then you try to live your way to prevent. First start out from you, each individually realize and live the life of non-violence. Then each one do that, and we have the whole community doing it. And then we have the whole world do that. So first we have to start with ourselves. So each of us here, if we was to determine to live a life of loving kindness, and we start, and then we start with our children. You know, you raise your children in a way that they can grow up, and you plant the seeds in your children, so that when they grow up, they can see, they can influence a lifestyle from you. And many of us, we are received many seeds from our family, and we don't know that. And later on, we do produce the same families like that, and we don't know. And small, the more you grow, mature, and you see, oh, how much you like your parents, and how much you like your family. I have to realize myself, you know. But if the practice helps you to aware that, and you can be direct your life in a different way, you know, like different lifestyle. And you make the promise, you make the determinations to direct your life in a different path. If you have the training, if you have the awareness. If not, you just repeat. That's what we call a samsara world. It's a circular existence. It's like that. A circular existence. Samsara. You repeat the same thing, the same habit that your parents does. We don't know. And sometimes many times we deny that. When I grow up, I will not be like my parents. But through somehow that you repeat the same thing. And so if you see from that and you have the practice, then you have the mindfulness strength, and then you redirect your lifestyle, living. So if you see the destruction, the suffering of life, then you make the harmful of life, the actions that arise from what? From the illusions, from your ignorance, and basically from fear. You fear of insecure, internally, the fear of insecure. And many of us here, including myself, sometimes, you know, I live along here, I was imagining if someone was sneak into the house at night, you know, and that's fear. And the actions arise from fear, from greed, from intolerance. That's produced the sufferings. And it say here that seeing that harmful actions arise from anger, fear, greed, intolerance, which in turn come from dualistic and discriminative thinking, I will cultivate openness, non-discrimination, and non-attachment to view in order to transform violence, fanaticisms, dogmatic systems in myself and in the world. So if we don't have the right view, we can live we can live in the life of fanaticisms called cuồng tín, and fanaticism that blind your mind, blind your view of life. And that's why many Arabs in the Iraq, you know, many go live in a fanaticism way of life. They carry bomb and bomb suicide, you know. And they don't know that they are suffering and the other people are suffering. Fanaticisms, dogmatisms. So that's why they say non-attachment to view. Non-attachment to view. Even Buddhism, even the Buddhist teachings, you're not allowed to attach to any of that. You have to love it. Buddhist teachings is only a skill for me to lead the way you to freedom. Not is the ultimate tool. That's what the Buddha said in Kalama Sutra. Even the tradition say, even the authorities say, you have to look back. And we, sometimes we raise in a way that we are very fanatic and dogmatisms, and that creates a lot of suffering. Mm. We imprison ourselves around that. We think that the doctrine that we was transmitted is the ultimate too. And if anyone touch that, you will do whatever to to protect them. So you have to live in the Vilasa in an openness, open mind. Open mind is to learn and to cultivate and to let go of all the fanaticisms and doctrines. You have to apply the teachings in a way that is very productive and produce. As long as the teachings produce non-violence, love, care, and consider other people's life. Other people's life. But if any teachings that leading you to violence, to discrimination, to judgments, just matter. And you have to rethink that kind of teachings. Even the teaching of the Buddha, if leading you to think that way, then you have to reconsider the teaching of the Buddha. Come to the Buddhist teachings not mean to attach to the Buddhist teachings. You have to live the way to liberate your view. And that's why you have to move beyond the dualistic view. The view of discriminations. The views of that lead you to a narrow mind. The more you practice, the more open you are, the more tolerant you are, the more calm you are. That's the quality it's the two practice generate. You, in front of all situations, you still calm and produce gentle and loving kindness and protect life. That's the training, is to lead it that way. This training is not not to grasping in any, even at the height of teachings, if you grasp it, it's become a knife with honey. I bet you. A knife ablaze with honey. And cut through you, and you don't know. You don't know. No. So if to measure your practice is in front of the situation, in front of some very traumatic, how you going to react to that? Whether you're able to calm and generate some calmness, some embracing, some loving kindness in that situation. That's how it's measured your practice. If someone was to torture you with a knife, how you going to react? You have to be wise. Doesn't mean that you passed it to let them torture you, but you have to be find a way so that you can help that person, but at the same time you help yourself. Don't say that if I slap on your face one side, just give me another side so I can slap. That's not my way. I have to hold your hand and say stop. I don't want you to create more violence. That means you are wise. First, you don't let him hurt himself, but at the same time, you don't let him hurt himself, because the act that he does is hurting you, but hurt at the same time is hurting him. So you have to stop that action. Hold his hand. That's the wise. So that when someone have intention to kill you, you have to stop him. Because if he kill you, you're suffering, but he's suffering too. He creates a karma for him, but at the same time, he creates many resentment for him, anger for him. So you have to have stop the acts of killing. What's the act of killing? So you save him, but you save yourself, but you save him also. So that's why in the four great vows, we change some in the Vietnamese, we change all the time. We say sentient beings are numberless, unlimited. We vow to save them in that way. sentient beings are limitless, numberless. But you want to save them in the way that in every act that you do, you save yourself and save in your way of thinking, in your way of life, in your way of acting. And we have a lot of seeds of discrimination in us. Doesn't mean you're West or East. It's regardless of West or East. We all have the seeds of discrimination. But if we don't aware, if we don't practice, we let that seed grow in us. And the more discriminative seeds in you grow, the more your mind become narrow, and the more you become you condemn life, condemn others. We all have the seeds. That seed is in us. It's like under the ground, in the earth, underground. It's all. Then when the condition is right, then the seed is grow. Just for example, you draw on the way, on the, you are driving on the road, and then someone was drive slower than you. Yes, slower than you, and you just pass him and you say, "That's an old lady. That's an old man." That's discrimination. She's already rising you, but you don't know that you one day you like that. And you never know. You see, that's the sea of discrimination. It's very subtle. And either that you saw someone is slow and you drive by and they say, "Oh, it's student driving. Oh, that's a young boy. Oh, that's a young girl." Young, or you say young, and then old, you say that. Old lady, that's why she's slow. And then you say young is inexperienced. You see, this discrimination is already in our head. But we don't know that one day we'll be like that, and I know, and some other young boy passed by and say, "Oh, that's old man, old lady." Let's come back, you see. Let's come back to us. So we always live in mindfulness. We always keep rise our heart and yelling. You know, you see. When I drive, I say, "Oh, one day I'll be like that." I just tell that, you know. Mm-hmm. If someone was driving slow and I passed by, but it was, you know, someone slow and, you know, oh, I say, "Oh," and I think myself, I say, "Oh, one day I'll be like that." And I give rise into compassion and loving kindness and consider myself like that. So if you are a wise practitioner, give rise to that, you know. Just to see if you go into the store market and someone in front of you is older and slow. The more you become mature, the more you become aging, you return back to the child's age. And you do everything careful and slow. But the people in the back of you, if you are in the back of that person and you seem angry, you know, it's, see, oh, he didn't do anything. How can you give rise to your anger to yourself? You irritate. Agitation is arising in you. So you are very, see how very impatient we are. And the more you feel that, the more you upset yourself that you feel your anger, the sea of your anger growing bigger. So instead of saying, "Oh, I see, I will be wait," and I start breathing, you know, contemplate the impermanence of life, you know, and give them rise to kindness, and you feel much calm and peace. It's happened to me many times. I go to the market and I buy, and I just, you know, live and see many elder friends in front of me, and I cultivate the nature of sickness. And I always think myself is like that one day. And then the situation suddenly changed. And you were very patient, and you smile to them and say, if they are slow, they say, can I help you? You know? Instead of they put their food on the table, on the counter, and say, can I help you? And you're happy, and that person happy. You see? You do the work of love, but you don't know. But sometimes you feel much joy in your heart, and you open your heart up. You love in the elder. You protect them. You care for them. So it's many endless joys, endless chance for you to do good work. To do good work. And to protect life in that way. So, so whenever you draw on the road, if someone draws low, you know, watch your mind. How your mind, how you think, watch your thinking.
Maybe they're practicing mindful driving.
Oh yes, they're practicing. When we become agents, we are very mindful. You know, we take a step. We have to, you know, be careful. You're very careful. Your bone is very fragile, right? So everything you do is careful. You know, and become. That's why it takes slow, right? So they are practicing, and they give us a chance to practice patience, tolerance, to breathe. So if we always think in a positive way, and then it's turn out very happy situation, you know. In any situation, if you have a positive mind, you have a positive thinking, the situation changes. Even you in a car, your car is not running well, you say, oh, it's time for me to wait. You know, it's time for me to practice pacing with my car. And send some love to the car, you say, oh, car, poorly, you have been working so much for me. You know?
Yeah.
You work so much for me, now you are in the old age process. You know, I have to fix you again. Yes, and then you feel much happy and you feel much love for the car. Even though it's just only a piece of steel, you know, but you generate that. You say, poorly, you've been serving me for many years. And now is the time for you to we have to tune you up, you know. and then you totally change your attitude toward it, and then you must be a happy person. And all the way, if you can do that, you're always happy. You know, doesn't matter what situation you're in. But we rarely, you know, if something coming up not in according to our, and we're very impatient human being. You know that. We have very impatience, you know. So every day you make a step and practice patience so that you can prepare yourself in all situations. And life change if you have patience and you have some calmness. And even though if you may give rise to other situation, other place, you might give rise to some irritation, some anger, but at that time you can practice over, oh, I love my body, because I don't want to be my body to be feel irritation, you know, upset. You love, and you send some love to your body, you see. Because when you give right, and when you're angered, you're very hot, and you burn yourself. The house of fire, start burning, and you have to send love to your body. See, why do I burn myself? You know, and take the deep breath, you know. Maybe a tree there, you saw, hug the tree and say, oh, tree, I'm so fragile, so give me a hug. You know? And you feel different, yeah? And there's so many things for us to practice and to protect life, to protect the environment. If we practice mindful way of living, you know? So that when, in all situations, if something happened to you, and slow down. First thing is to slow down. To slow down. And if you feel that your body is getting hot, and you know that anger is initiation of anger, then you know that I should slow down. Don't act in that moment. And that's why many people get into the act of killing, because the anger is overwhelming them, and they act right away, and they get a knife, they stop. And if they got a gun, they pull the trigger. But at that moment I say, oh, slow down. You said yesterday, slow down. You just want to tell to yourself, slow down and take a breath. and you change your mind, right? But especially young people, they are very aggressive and very hot in temper, and they act right away. And at the moment, the act is the act on the anger, the act of the on the irritation, on the upset. But then, after that, the action's over. Then it's too late. You already killed a person. You already take somebody's life because of anger, because of jealousy, because of fear. You fear of your insecurity. You say that person is present, then my life is insecure. But you don't know that that person also feel insecure in him or her. So you take the life of that person. So after you take the life of that person, you feel that you are insecure, but you are not. Day and night, you've been obsessed by, you've been haunted by this fear of getting caught. At first, you think it takes somebody's life, you feel secure. But it's not. You continue to feel insecure more after you take someone's life. Because you're afraid of the loss, you're afraid of getting caught, and your inner self is haunting you day and night. So I saw a document, and his name is Danny, and the girls. And this document is it took place in England, New England. And she's a beautiful girl. And this man, he was in wrestling. And you know, wrestling, they feed you a lot of violence. A lot of violence. And this girl was, you know, every time that, you know, one set over, and the girl was holding the side to walk around, you know, like that. And somehow that they get in love with each other. In love, and they just endure themselves in sensual pleasures. But somehow this guy is very aggressive and very jealous. So one day, because of jealousy, he ripped her, not to agree on sexual relationship, but to rip her, you know. And she was so afraid that he gonna take her life. So she tried to get away, to take away, not to contact him by phone or by email. But he constantly text her, email her, you know, in a sweet way, you know. In a secret, but inside him is pure anger, jealousy. So one day she agreed to meet him in a cafe. So see, he emailed and said, what kind of clothes you wear, you know, describe, you know, what you wear, what kind of makeup. And then he carried a bucket of axes, you know, and wearing masks. And she was walking across the street to the cafe, and he pulled the axes on her face. And at first she said she thought it was water. Mm-hmm. And thought of it was water. And slowly the axes eating her, you know, she feel. And he splashed the acid, and some of the acid go into her body. Mm-hmm. And her ears get, the axes so strong that her ears get cut off. And the hair is falling, and her lung was burned, and things so terrible, and she was running around, and she was blind, and a few women are blind, and she just run because it's so hot, and the people around don't know what is happening. She go into the restaurants and toilet and dip herself in the toilet to get some of. The acid's off, and so finally people know and care and call the police 911, and a few minutes, 15 minutes later, and the ambulance comes, it's too late, you know. And all the acids permeate into her body, burn her face, and she went to the hospital and took her to the hospital, and the doctor had to, and so many days, and the doctor had to take the skin in the back of her back and replace on her face, but it still looked so terrible, you know. You couldn't able to see, look at her, you know. So before she was so beautiful, and just about a few moments later, and it totally turned out different because of the guy's jealousy, anger, you know, not fulfill your desire, craving, you see. And you try, and out of that anger, of jealousy, of craving, he take kill her way in a way of so terrible way, you know. When you try to take somebody's life because of your anger, because of your jealousy, because of your craving. And later, a few days later, he would get caught, you know. So he was acting on his fear, his anger, his jealousy, his craving. And because of the training in his wrestling, the seeds, you know, just come to fight, you know, like that. And he don't know, he's a young man, and you thought that it'd be a good to make some money, to be a good life, but you turn out a person, be an aggressive person. And that's happened to many in our society, happened day by day, you know. Every in this world happen, I think every moment have some kind of that kind of case happening, taking the life of the people. Out of fear, out of anger, out of hatred, out of jealousy. We don't reverence life, we don't respect life that way. When we don't respect life, life will not respect us. Right? If we don't respect some people, and no, we don't respect us back. So we reverence life, life will reverence us back. We take care of the environment takes care of us. So we see that the interconnections, connectedness, is very the inside of that. So that, you know, her, that guy was suffering, his girlfriend suffering, and he's suffering, he more suffering. He in jail for 30 years. He put in jail for 30 years. So we do so many things that take life in a way that, in the ignorance ways, you know. Deep down inside, he probably not want to do that, right? But because he's too occupied with this anger, his with jealousy. And many of us here, we have family, we have relationship. If we don't careful, we will commit that kind of act for ourselves. But if we're lucky, we have the life of wisdom. You walk under the sunshine. You have to bow your head. Bow your head down. Remove. I bow my head under the sunshine, under the wisdom, under the light of the Buddha. The light of the Buddha here is the light of awakening. If you are aware, you are awake, you don't do that. But if you in sleepy, you do that. You see? So you have to live in a way so that the energy, the sunshine, the sunlight permeate your heart. The sunlight open your heart. We need that for ourselves. Anyone have any questions? So I think it's this is the first training, so it's open up. So next time we can share, we can discuss on this training, you know. Share how do you apply. You can have raise questions. If you have any questions, so many confusions, ask, see, how are we going to protect life? In what way? Practically. You know? In a peaceful breath, you already protect life. In a peaceful step, you already protect life. So you have to ask the question in an applicable way, in a practical way. how can we apply this to make our life, quality of life better? You know, to improve our quality of life, to protect life. And we all have experience on this because we sentient beings. As a sentient being, we have awareness. We have the potential of awareness. And we have that capability to do that. So the practice is how to ask the practical questions. In Buddhism, does we try to the Buddha teach us the way so that we can live our life. Paula?
Well, I have a question. What's the difference between, say, for example, you know, seeing the mindfulness training, studying them, trying to, you know, act and follow the training versus grasping the training?
See, you grasping them, I mean you attach to that. You attach to that training. And you hold that training as the ultimate tool. But you don't see that as a skill for me to play liberate yourself from grasping, from attachment. And that happened to many, many. You know, some of us take the training and you take the training as some things that hold onto that training, and that training become a rope to tie you around, and you become dogmatic. And the Buddha tried to liberate us from the dogmatic. The Buddha said that my teachings is a raft. It have the capability to transport you to the shore of non-grasping, to open your mind. So let's take some. So taking the training along is not enough. It's good at the beginning, but can you liberate yourself? Ask the question. How can you turn that training in your way of life and open up your mind? That's the question. As a raft to carry to open up your mind. As a skill for me to open up your mind. And you can do that, and you can feel that in your way of acting, in your way of interact with other people. You know, if someone were to discuss a precept and whether you have the grasp on that view and hold on that view and never let that view go. In the way of you share that with other people, interact with other people when you study the mindfulness training. And you can see, feel it in yourself. So you can become a grasper in the training. And you can get stuck and it become a stagnant energy in you. You know, and that happened in Buddhists, in the circle of Buddhists too. You know, if we're able to really apply and experience the non-attachment, we are already liberate. You know, but there's some degree. Doesn't mean that we totally liberate ourselves. But there's some degree to that. You know, some degree to that. Some is very heavy, some is very medium, and how much open mind you have, you really have in mind. And that testify you through your way of interact with your family, with your friends, with your communities, you know. And that's how it testifies. You don't have to testify that in the church, in the court. Is that
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? So if we just, you know, think about that, you know, do a little bit of contemplation on what we share today. So next week we can come together and, you know, really lay it on the table of you understand. Maybe some of your confusions too. It's okay to air on your confusions. That's why we come together. We not come together. We are not holy people. We are holy people in the potential. we have that. We are on the path. So we have to be practical with that, and air it out on the table, so we can study together. That's why we come together, learn together, and practice together. Here is the circle of learning, you know, of practicing together. I don't say I'm here just to share with you. I'm still on the path like everybody. It's at a certain degree, at a certain stage. If you really get some glimpse on this, then you have some light to shine your path. But if you are still struggling, it's okay. Struggling to become stronger. Yeah? Struggling to become, to get more strength. So don't be passive if you are struggling on the path. We are here. We already have the way. We have some sharing. It's okay. All of us here, at some degree, we are struggling, more or less. You know. So. We will help each other, support each other in the way to grow and to be strong and to move on. Good love. So thank you. So I just share with you the first training today. Now, if you have any urgent questions, you can ask. But if not, you are invited to contemplate a little bit deeper. So next week I will not be here. I will be in Canada, still sharing with different groups. And so I'll be back on the 3rd of and I fly back again. So I will be absent for 2 weeks from now, on Thursday. So I will miss 2 classes with you. But everyone is welcome to come and practice together. Either you can discuss further on the 5 mindfulness trainings, you can watch some DVD of Thai. I can leave it here so you can come and practice together. And in that way you support each other in the practice, whether I'm present or not. Because I know that one day I have to leave this world and die, and we all, in somehow. We practice and we die, but we are returned to the earth in a peaceful way, you know, and give back to the earth. You know, if you live peacefully, you go with peacefully, you contribute to this earth. You know, you return to the Mother Earth in a peaceful way, to reunion with Mother Earth. That's fine. But if we live our life fully, you know, productively, then it's very meaningful for our life. Okay, so thank you very much. So I will invite to sound the bell so that we can just enjoy your breathing, relax about in your mind. Thank you.